So I'm blessed to be with you here tonight at this Christmas novena in preparation for the coming of our Lord and the joy that accompanies the celebration of his birth. When we look at this reading from the prophet Isaiah, what I gather from it is a sense of hope. If we think of Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, when it was first written, it started before the Babylonian exile, went through the Babylonian exile, and even after the Babylonian exile. And in this particular passage, we hear about this promise to return to Zion and the joy that will accompany it. And so this particular passage is most likely from when they were in exile, when they were oppressed, when they were burdened, and they were in need of hope. Hope that one day they would be able to return to the promised land. When it comes to Christian prophecy, there's usually multiple layers of meaning. The most straightforward and immediate meaning from this passage is, of course, how they were liberated from the Babylonian exile and returned to the Holy Land. But a more profound and fulfilling aspect of this prophecy would be the coming of the Savior, being set free from the oppression not of the Babylonians, but the oppression of sin and evil and Satan. A hope. Hope that the Savior would come and set us free. And as we look over this passage, we're encouraged. We're told, be strong, fear not. Here is your God. He comes with vindication. With divine recompense, he comes to save you. We're reminded that our Lord loves us and he wants to set us free. He wants to fill us with his grace. He wants to call us not to the physical location of Zion or the physical place on earth, Jerusalem, but to the heavenly Jerusalem, to eternal life. That it would be the ultimate fulfillment of this prophecy. And as we approach Christmas, we're getting ready for that beginning of that process. We can't have the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord unless he first takes on human flesh that enables him to undergo that suffering. God in himself, being pure spirit, is incapable of bodily suffering. But if he takes on human flesh, then he can suffer on our behalf. We might wonder, well, why was that even necessary? Why does God have to become human? We, humanity, had sinned against God. God who is all-loving, all-powerful, God who is infinite. And so, how bad the offense is depends upon who it is that's offended. And if it's God who's offended, he who is infinite, then in order to make up for that, we have to make an infinite gift of love. Well, we, human beings who are finite, are incapable of that. And yet it's humanity that offended God. So humanity should participate in making up for the sins that it has committed. And in this perplexing problem, the solution comes from God. Since he who is infinite is capable of making an infinite gift of love, he will do it. Since it's humanity that sinned, he will take on human nature, so that he, a divine person, can make this infinite gift of love with his human nature, giving himself up on the cross. But again, he can't do that unless he first takes on human nature. And we celebrate that in a particular way, the incarnation, in a very special way, at his birth, when we celebrate Christmas. And so in this passage from Isaiah, this prophecy, we're reminded of how God has the power to transform, how streams will burst forth in the desert, and rivers in the steppe. The burning sands will become pools, and the thirsty ground springs of water. God brings about transformation. This imagery that's being used is kind of like humanity, which is parched. We're starving or we're thirsting for the grace of God. And that water that we hear of, it's the grace of God, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the divine life of God, pouring forth to refresh and rejuvenate us, to make us new. We're told that there will be a highway called the Holy Way, and no one unclean will pass over it. It is those with a journey to make, and on it the redeemed will walk, that the Lord calls us to a particular path of holiness. He calls us to follow him in his way. Jesus tells us he is the way, the truth, and the life. So this highway, this path of holiness, is going to be revealed. It is revealed in Christ Jesus, in his teachings. It is revealed in our Lord, in the way that he loves us. We are told in the concluding paragraph, those whom the Lord has ransomed will return and enter Zion, singing, crowned with everlasting joy. Well, that joy is truly everlasting. When we enter the gates of heaven, when we're in the presence of God, the source of all love, all joy, all happiness, all truth, all beauty, all goodness, then we will certainly enjoy everlasting joy. We are told they will meet with joy and gladness, sorrow and mourning will flee. For there is no sorrow and mourning in heaven when we're in the presence of God, he who is the source of all love. We are truly blessed in this Advent season, which is coming to a close, in this celebration of the Christmas Novena, reminded of these prophecies, of the good things God has in mind for all of us, the joy he wishes to grant us, to fill us with. So let our hearts fill up with this anticipation for the coming of the Lord and the joy and the love that he has to share with all of us in this coming Christmas season.